Hi, I'm Pastor Robert. Welcome to Riverside Friends Church's sermon. Today, Evan Kalo will be preaching, and he'll be sharing from Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Unfortunately, we missed the first few minutes of Evan's sermon due to a technical issue with his mic. And as the sermon goes, as you listen in, you'll hear some pops and fuzz throughout. Sorry about that. It was an issue with his mic battery. I replaced the battery beforehand, but we missed a bad one in our sound check. So Evan shared about a time when his daughter Emma was a baby. Evan woke up and felt a pit in his stomach, and as he looked into her crib by the bed, her lips were blue and she wasn't breathing. And he picked her up in his arms and he carried her to the car, and luckily there was a hospital a few blocks away, and he drove to the hospital with his baby girl in his arms, and he needed to get her to somebody who could help. As they pulled into the emergency room, she coughed up whatever was in her throat or whatever, in her mouth or whatever. She began to breathe again. And doctors checked her out. Her lungs are still good. Lungs are fine. All that, no issues. Our scripture today, as Evan's going to cover, is about carrying somebody to the only one who can help. So I'm going to read Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Then I'll let Evan take it over from there. Mark 2, verses 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and they gathered in such large numbers there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. By digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." And he got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
You know, verse 1 opens by telling us that the people heard that Jesus had come home. You know, by now, Jesus had performed many miracles, and he was deep into his ministry, and his fame had begun to spread throughout all the land. So he was quite popular. People knew who he was, and they were coming to see him and witness him. And the story opens up by saying that he had returned to Capernaum. And this was most likely considered to be like Jesus' home base for his ministry. Now, he didn't have a house of his own there because it would have been very difficult for him to maintain a house of his own during the ministry. It was most likely believed that this house that they met in was Simon Peter's house. Now, the type of house is much different than the type of houses that we have here. We all have slanted roofs that are designed to get snow to rappel off of it and rain to run down. But this type of architecture in this region of the land had flat roofs on it. And that was designed so that you could go up via a staircase or a ladder on the side, and people did work up there. Like, they set up a shop where they would dry figs or fruit or make wine or sometimes go up there just to take a nap during the day. So this roof was flat, and there was a place where people could access the roof. It says that so many people gathered to see Jesus that it was crowded, and you couldn't even get near the door. So imagine that for a moment if you've ever been to a concert where there's just people, throngs of people as far as you can see, and you just know that there's no way that you could possibly elbow your way through those people, right? This is the experience that these men had while carrying their paralyzed man. You know, here living in Iowa, it's hard to imagine traffic like that. But I grew up in New York, just outside the city, where there is traffic just about everywhere. If you're driving somewhere during the day, you're going to run into traffic. And I remember one time in particular when I was driving along a stretch of highway that I drove all of the time to get to church, and it was bumper-to-bumper traffic. It's about a five-mile stretch that takes about 35 minutes to travel, but it's the only way to get there. And one day in particular, I was about 50 yards away from my exit, and it was just shoulder-to-shoulder traffic, if you will. And I thought, let me pull off on the shoulder and take this exit. I'm just going to drive off real quick. Soon as I pulled off onto the shoulder, whoop, 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 the blue lights lit up behind me. And I'm like, oh, man. So I pull over. I'm 18 years old. This was a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you how long because I don't want you to know how old I am. But I pull over, and the officer, the state trooper, comes up, and I'm giving every excuse in the book. I'm like, officer, I've driven this 1,000 times. I have never driven on the shoulder. Please, you know, give me a break. He didn't care about all the times I did good. All he cared about was the one time that I drove on the shoulder, and I was stuck in this traffic, you know, desperate to get to my exit. He didn't care. He gave me a ticket anyways. It was a pretty expensive $280 ticket back then, so that was expensive. You know, growing up in New York, traffic was just kind of the thing. And these men that were trying to get to Jesus experienced shoulder-to-shoulder people traffic, that they had to go through a desperate measure to get around the traffic because they knew, they had faith in their heart, they knew that if they could just get their friend to Jesus, that he would be healed. You know, in verse 4, we learn about the men making their way up to the rooftop. This probably wasn't a very easy task to do. It might have been a ladder. So try carrying a man, a full-grown man, up a ladder on a mat. It was probably pretty difficult, but they stuck to it. They knew that if they could get to Jesus, that this man would be healed. These men had big faith. They knew that if they only got their friend up there, that he would be healed. They had belief in their heart, belief in Jesus, that he was who he said he was, and he was doing the things that he said he could do. You know, do you have friends in your life that you know need to get to Jesus? You know, are you willing to use what you have to carry these friends of yours to Jesus, to bring them to the one that can help them? You know, for us as a church, the way that we carry people to church, the way that we have a stretcher, is our ministries. You know, Todd's Place, the Sober Living House, Kids Club, our outreach to children, Angel Tree, our prison ministry, the Bible studies that we use. This is the way that we as a church reach out to people in the world and offer them a stretcher, a mat, to carry them to Jesus. We're using what we have to reach out to people. What does that look like for you in your life? How can you use what God has given you to reach out to people and to bring them to Christ? God has given us all gifts and abilities that we're to use for his work. So I challenge you to use what you have to bring people to Christ. You know, these men broke through the roof above Jesus, and this would have no doubt captured everybody's attention. If you imagine right now somebody breaking through the roof above us, we would all stop talking. I certainly would. I mean, I wouldn't know what was going on. I would think that, you know, something dramatic was about to happen, and it did. This man got lowered in through the roof. That's pretty amazing. You know, all eyes were on that man. And that were carrying. Know that there is power in the faith that we have for our friends. It's called intercession. When we intercede on behalf of friends of ours to pray and bring them to Christ, there's power in our prayers and our thoughts for people. Do you have faithful friends that surround you? Do you have friends that are surrounding you that will carry you when you need them? Evaluate the friends that are around you. Are you the faithful friend that can carry your friends? You know, there was a long period of life in my life where I walked away from my faith. And I wasn't living in line with God's word. And my parents, among other people, prayed for me and interceded on my behalf and prayed that God would reveal himself to me and bring me back to him and soften my heart. And after many years of faithful prayers by my friends and my family, I returned to God. And that their faith and their powerful prayers played a significant part in my return to faith. It carried me back into relationship with God. Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." You know, all his life, this paralyzed man thought that there was some sin in his life that was preventing him from being healed. There was prior thinking there. In biblical days, it was common to believe that if you had an ailment or a health problem, or you were paralyzed or blind or had some type of disability, that it was because of some sin in your life. So this man had Jesus look at him and tell him that his sins were forgiven. Publicly, in front of an entire crowded, sold-out audience. That must have been a very emotional moment for that man, who was probably pretty scared. I imagine the hole that they made probably wasn't big enough for his whole entire mat to get lowered down, so he was probably being lowered very dangerously down to Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus looks at him and forgives him. It probably warmed his heart quite a bit. Jesus saw the greater need in this man's life. Instead of looking at his disability, Jesus looked at the real cause, the real need that this man had. Did you know that your physical body can feel just fine, yet there are big, bad things that could be going on the inside? We've heard it before, or maybe you've had this happen to you, where you get a really scary diagnosis of cancer or some other type of illness, and you hear about somebody looking at the doctor and saying, like, "Well, I feel just fine. I feel great. I don't feel like there's something going on inside." Well, sometimes the doctor has to tell you the truth about your condition, and you have to believe what he's telling you, even if you don't feel it. Well, it's that same way with the sin problem in our life. Sometimes we read the Bible and we hear about sin problems or things that we shouldn't do, or it exposes things in our lives that are not in line with God's word, and we think to ourselves, "Well, I don't really feel like that's a problem. I've thought that many times." Well, I tell you right now that all sin is a problem. Every piece of sin is a problem. None of it is too small or too great. Sin is sin in the eyes of the Lord. Jesus spoke to this man's true disability. A disability, by definition, is something that prevents you from living life to the fullest. When you have sin in your life, there's a weight that you carry with it. We've all experienced that weight before. We've all felt it. Some of it's greater than others, but it's all a weight. When you're carrying that weight of sin in your life, it's going to prevent you from living the life that God meant for you to live. It's going to keep you from living life to the fullest. God forgives. That is who he is. Did you know that if you start reading the Bible at page one, and you read it straight through, the first time you're going to come across a condensed definition of the character of God is in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. And it says that God passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's who God is. That is the definition of the character of God. He forgives. He's compassionate. He is loving. He is caring. What does this tell us about God? That he wants to love you, and he wants to forgive you. That's just who he is. Jesus told the man the most important thing that man needed to hear. What was this man's greatest need? His friends probably would have said the healing, that he was paralyzed. Well, did you know that you can be healed and you can still go to hell? Sickness doesn't separate us from God. Sin does. What good is healing if you go to hell because of your sin? Jesus spoke to the greater need in this man's life. Mark 8, 36 and 37 tells us, it says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Jesus told the man the most important thing that he had to hear, his forgiveness. What was the man's greatest need? Sin is the only thing that separates us from God. It's not sickness. It's not regret. It's not shame. It's not trauma. It's not sadness. It's not addiction. The only thing that keeps us from God is unconfessed, unrepented sin. That is the only thing. You know, being paralyzed might have been what physically kept this man from standing up and walking to Jesus. But it was his sin that was keeping him from relationship with a caring and loving God. It wasn't his legs. It was the root cause that was deep down inside of him. Jesus displayed real power here as God. In verse 6 and 7, it speaks of these religious leaders that were sitting there thinking to themselves, who can forgive sins but God himself? Well, these skeptics, they had it right. Only God can forgive your sins. Jesus' response to the scribe's thoughts was to say out loud, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to get up, take your mat, and walk? Well, on the surface, it's much easier to speak to the internal, right? Because there's not a physical presence of saying, stand up and walk. If he said that and the man didn't get up and walk, it would be lack of proof. Jesus was dealing with the internals that no one can see and the externals. He dealt with both. Jesus was basically saying, to show you that I have authority over the internal stuff that you can't see, I'm going to display my power over the things that you can see so that you will believe that I am God. I want to reiterate something real quick here. Only God can forgive your sins. If I wronged Robert and I did something to offend him, which happens all the time, he's sensitive. No. Robert can forgive me. We're called in the Bible to forgive one another. He can forgive the offense to him, but he can't forgive me of my sin if I sinned against him. Only God can forgive our sin. That is something that you have to get right. We talked about sin being a problem that you can't see or feel, but it's really there. It's still real in your life. Only God can forgive that sin problem. Good deeds cannot forgive sin. Sometimes we reason with ourselves saying, man, I really messed up. I'm going to have to go the extra mile to make up for this. Well, that doesn't work with sin in your life. You know, just like my conversation with that state trooper when I got pulled over, he didn't care about all the times that I didn't drive on the shoulder. The only time he cared about was the one time that I broke the law and I got in trouble for that. It's the same way with sin in our life. It doesn't matter how many times we do good. When we sin and we have unconfessed, unrepented sin in our life, that's what causes us to lose our relationship with God. You must ask forgiveness for your sins. Remember that God is a loving, a caring and compassionate God, and he forgives you. That's who he is. That's the character of God. It's right there in the Word for us to read. Now our story ends where the man got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, We have never seen anything like this before. How powerful is that ending? It's pretty amazing. I would love to see something like that. Well, we do get to see stuff like that. We get to see those miracles all the time in people's lives. The man was carried in on this mat by his faithful friends, and he walked out of there, sins forgiven and healed, carrying his own mat. That mat that he carried was a symbol for the whole world to see. We all have our own mat that we carry. That is a symbol of our testimony. It is what God has done in our life. It shows the world, look at how I once was, and now look at how I am now. That is exactly how people living right now in 2024 can witness the active, personal, transforming, get up off your mat power of Jesus Christ. They see it in our testimony. They see it in the way that we live. They see it in the conversations we have, in the way that we carry ourselves. We witness to the entire world by our actions, by the words that we speak, and the relationships that we have, and the friendships that we keep. They also see it in the people that we carry. Let's use our stretcher. How can we show the world that we were once lost and now we're found? Let's help carry people into knowing that the God of this universe sees them, loves them, forgives them, and wants to have a very personal relationship with all of them. We all have a story of how God has touched us. There is power in that testimony, and sharing it is how God works through us to reach people in this world. 1 Peter 3:15 commands us to keep Christ as Lord of our hearts and to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give the reason for the hope that you have. Just like I carried Emma to the hospital for help, who is it that you're carrying? You know, chances are that you're sitting here today, right now, thinking about the person that you're carrying. We all carry somebody with us inside. As I invite the worship team back up here to sing one final song, let's use this time of worship to reflect on the person that you're carrying and how you can carry that person to Christ. How can you be a faithful friend for that person? How can you reach out to them and bring them to this caring, loving, and compassionate God? They need to hear your story of encouragement. They need to hear your story of love. God bless you guys and have a great week.